What is hydrogel technology and why would it be of benefit in a sports nutrition product? You're in the right place if you want to learn more about this. Welcome back to the Inside Sports Nutrition Podcast, your source for all things sports nutrition related. This show is hosted by myself, Dina Griffin, and my co-host, Bob Sibahar. We are both registered dietitians and board certified specialists in sports dietetics with combined professional experience exceeding 40 years. We're here to translate nutrition and sports science research to real life and give you some awesome interviews with a variety of experts so you can enhance your knowledge to optimize your own health, fitness, and athletic performance. On today's show, we are joined by Tobias Christensen, who is the head of performance nutrition over at Morton. And we're going to learn more about the innovation behind using hydrogel technology in the context of fueling athletes. We're also going to talk a lot more about the Morton company, the array of products, and really get a walkthrough of their offerings, including the new sodium bicarbonate delivery system. So if you're not familiar with sodium bicarb and how it may help you, definitely want to tune into this episode. Real quick, if you have a minute here, right now, safely to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Super easy to do. This helps us continue to expand our listenership and continue to provide content to other awesome listeners like you around the world. And we greatly appreciate that. Give us a follow or subscribe if you're not already on the subscription list. Thank you for that. And now let's get to episode 126 with Tobias Christensen.
Oh, Dina Griffin, I am so enamored and excited to have our very special guest today, Tobias Christensen, who is the head of performance nutrition at Morton in Sweden. We are I'm so pumped just to have this conversation, Dina and Tobias. Tobias, thank you for just taking this time. I know your time is so valuable, but we want to provide some great information to our listeners about Morton, about carbohydrate oxidation, absorption, and feeding. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
It will be all really right. It's going to be a good conversation. There's a lot to talk about. But before we get into the whole carbohydrate, feeding, absorption, everything, can you kind of, let's just set it up for our listeners. Now, I know hopefully most of our listeners have heard of Morton before. You guys have been on the market for many, many years, but just in case, can you just take us through like the history of Morton? Like what's the why behind the company? And like, in your opinion, how did Morton create such a great presence in the sport nutrition product market?
Yeah. So first of all, we have not been on the market for too many years. So I think the company was founded in 2015 or so in the second half. And the first prototypes were kind of launched or created during 2016. So it's still a very young company.
I mean,
we have Corona pandemic as well. But I think the why behind the company is pretty simple. We want to innovate. We want to kind of create new things. We want to solve problems. So we are kind of looking for new problems to solve. And I mean, with the first problem we saw or detected was the issue with gut tolerability with carbohydrate intake. So several of the board members and the founders are from the medical industry, from the pharmaceutical industry. And we applied kind of knowledge and methods that were used in these type of industry into the sports nutrition. So the hydrogel technology that we are going to discuss here a little bit is what we kind of, our tool to kind of solve the gut issue during exercise. Yeah.
And that is kind of your special sauce, if you will, like quote unquote, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it is really that hydrogel technology that we'll talk about.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, exactly. So the GI tolerance of the carbohydrate intake is what we have been kind of aiming to solve. So, and we have been quite successful. So that's the kind of the answer on your question. That's why we have been so successful in the last years, is because athletes seems to tolerate more carbohydrates. And of course, we have learned and read a lot about the carbohydrate metabolism and performance, and more carbohydrates in many cases results in better performance.
I can't wait to talk more about that, Tobias. Before we go into that, could you give us a little insight from your roles at the company, how you got involved, maybe some of the things you do? I feel like you've been on board with the company since its early inception. So what got you to join the team, and what all do you get to do at Morton?
Yeah. So I can start with, I have a sports background as a soccer player. So, and I applied ice hockey and did typical Scandinavian sports. So, and that's a winter nation. But after I stopped playing soccer, I dedicated my life into studies. And I started with food science and clinical nutrition. So I have a master's degree in clinical nutrition. Thereafter, another master in sports science. And when I finished my second master, was that in 2014 or 15 or perhaps 15 or so, me and my supervisor failed to get funding for a PhD. Mm. And at that time, my university and my supervisor had already started to do traces studies, isotope labeled glucose and fructose studies with Morton to study one of the early prototypes we had at that time. And he recommended me to the CEO. So before we launched the first product on the market, I started at Morton as the only sports nutritionist or nutritionist in the company. And thereafter, my role became as the head of nutrition, and I have had that position since 2017. So I'm doing my eighth year, and I used to describe my role at Morton as an extended arm from the, let's say, R&D within the company to the field, working closely with the elite athletes and the world class athletes who are using the product. So I try to detect and observe what's happening in the field and bring it back to the R&D team.
Has your role shifted over the years, Tobias, or are you pretty much doing? Yeah,
definitely. I remember pre-Corona in 2019, I think we were like between 15 to 20 employees, and today we are close to 80, I think. So we are in a rapid growth. And yes, I mean, with more recruitments, I'm having more of a, not a senior position, I would say, but a more leading position. Before, I was working in the periphery in a way and have a kind of a free and isolated role. But today I'm much more integrated with others.
Well, that's great. And I mean, it's kind of like the progression you want to see in your career, right? So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, I am. And I mean, at Morton, still, and especially in the beginning, I mean, there was so many great minds and brains within the company from different areas and different industries. So I definitely had an accelerated learning in the beginning. And I was the only one with a sports nutrition background or sports background, with people coming from different angles, from the pharmaceutical company, pharmaceutical industry, and also the medical industry and so on. So
yeah. That's fantastic. Okay. Well, let's kind of get into this. I mean, you mentioned growth, you mentioned kind of development. The reason kind of the first onus that Morton really provided this technology, this hydrogel technology, was for gastrointestinal distress and for, let's just call it, digestive challenges, right? So with our listeners, you guys and gals should kind of peek up, especially if you have or have had GI distress before, because this is where you really want to start taking notes. So Tobias, take us through, what is the difference in Morton products? What is this hydrogel technology and what does it seek to do?
I think we should start with taking a step back and perhaps explain a little bit the background of GI issues.
I mean, yes.
Exercise. Of course, we want to support the working muscles with blood and oxygen. And with that, we redistribute blood to the muscles and away from the GI tract. So One of the main causes, of course, is this conflict of the blood supply. And in addition to that, if we exercise at high exercise intensities, we do have a stress response. And the human body is poorly designed to take care of and digest foods during exercise. So the Morten again was launched to tolerate the carbohydrate intake better. And the hydrogel concept is a tool to do so. And it can be explained as an kind of a jelly-like network coating or encapsulating the carbohydrates into this jelly-like network. And it seems to be working very well. It's not very established why it is more tolerable, or it seems to be more tolerable. Maybe because of detectors or the sensory in the stomach doesn't recognize the high carbohydrate concentration and thereby doesn't put the brake on gastric emptying rate and so on. So perhaps this hydrogel network or this jelly-like structure is perceived by the stomach and the sensory as something that is not threatening the system and thereby allowed to pass down to the intestine.
That's interesting. So it would kind of pass through, if you will, right? In much more safe environment for it. So in hopes that it would go through the gut, the digestive system, and then be absorbed through the small intestine without issues and more efficiently and effectively, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there are a few. First of all, I mean, and that's how we work in the new products group and with new products. We always try to find a proof of concept. And a very important study was published, I think it was 2019 or so, or 2018, where we showed that this hydrogel was formed in the human stomach. So the researcher used MRI and to detect this hydrogel formation in the stomach. So that was a proof of concept that this is not a claimed concept. It's actually a real thing that is happening. And thereafter, there was one study that suggested that the hydrogel formula was emptied faster from the stomach to the intestine compared to a matched product, but without gelling components. Mm. So we had some indication that something with the GI and the gastric emptying rate is different because of this hydrogel structure. What was the question again,
Bob? I forgot, but here's another add-on to what you were saying is, so do we know 100% like what it is? Like, is it the hydrogel technology, or have researchers really determined that yet?
I think it's very hard to find out and have a final kind of explanation on what is happening. But definitely, right, a hydrogel is formed in the stomach from the drinks. We are using another type of hydrogel or technology in the gel that is kind of generated or created outside the body. But when we drink the drink mix, we form this hydrogel. And that's proven for sure. And then you can always criticize different methods and so on. They have their weaknesses in science and so on.
Of course.
It seems like this piece, the scientific piece, in combination with, I think, anecdotal evidence from athletes who kind of report back that they perceived less moving around of the ingested fluid and so on. Mm. Kind of suggest that there is something going on there that is positive in many scenarios.
Yeah. And with that hydrogel, like, there are one thing I really respect about Morten is the ingredients, right? The transparency of it. There's not a lot of, actually, there are no fillers, none of that. I'll just call it crap, right? But there are two specific ingredients that I think are part of the hydrogel technology, and that's the sodium alginate and the pectin, correct? Because those are necessary components.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about what those are so our listeners understand?
Yeah. So there are two, this is a technical term, but polymers. There are two long chain of glucose molecules linked together. And in combination, they work synergistically to create or fold, or these molecules are folded in different environments, such as the acidic in the stomach environment. Mm. So they are folded and create this network. Alginate is extracted from seaweed, and pectin is extracted from fruit peels. Mm-hmm. So they have these abilities, and and hydrogel as a concept is not a new concept. So it was not Morton who coined it. Let's say it has been around in the food industry and also in the pharma industry for many, many decades. Mm-hmm. So that's nothing new. It's only now when we transferred this concept to the sports nutrition industry.
Yeah. So you guys are the first ones to do that. And I'm sure, you know, not, as you mentioned earlier, Morton not being on the market for too long now. I mean, you know, we're talking about 8 years or so, I think, which is it's a long time, but it's not in the sport nutrition field, right? Or in the market. But so obviously what I would say is, like, I've read some of the research on hydrogel, on Morton products, you name it. What is your take, you know, as a put your science hat on right now? Do you still feel, or do you feel like there's still not enough research in this particular topic? Or do you feel like there's enough that's been done so far that can, like, we can all be comfortable and say, listen, we're on a good path here?
You mean with the hydrogel?
Or... Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and looking at some of the Morton products being looked at in research and compared to either glucose and maltodextrin without the hydrogel.
I think there are many, many more scenarios to explore. 100%.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, we don't have the final version of the let's say the drink formula. There are always things to tweak. So hopefully we can come up with an even better, an updated Formula One version, actually.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So let's see. But I think as a concept, no, we are not there yet.
Okay.
So now,
which is, it's kind of amazing given your impact. I feel like your impact on the sport nutrition field already has been, like, you guys came on with a bang, right? And with Elite Athletes and Ironman, and it was amazing how quickly you built up a great reputation. And that's why I was wondering, like, how much research has been done relative to that, because you guys have been doing such a great job. And I mean, I don't think, you know, from my perspective, at least, I don't see, you know, millions of dollars of marketing being put out there. It's really based on science and that the product is actually working in athletes. And that's, you know, one thing that I respect. It's not just a lot of marketing hype.
And I think you put your finger on the right thing here. I think the Elite Athletes, they found out very early that it was working for them, and we built from that. So already 2017, we had a number of marathon wins, for example, in the mm-hmm. big major marathons. And I mean, you know, Bob, that practitioners and successful coaches and athletes, they are using things and methods and so on, programs, long before it's proven in the scientific community. So,
we had
the confidence very early. And that's why I think we have a pretty relaxed view or relationship to science as well.
I wonder, maybe this is a good point here to segue towards examining some of the products for those who maybe aren't familiar, or maybe they haven't looked closely at the product offerings from Morton and what makes each product different from each other. So I wonder, Tobias, maybe starting with the drink mix would be a good one to start, kind of the differences. And I know there's some caffeinated options and non-caffeinated, but maybe walking through, like, the drink mix and the gels, and we can talk about the solids and the bicarbonate, but if you could start us off, carbohydrate content and some of the unique properties.
Also,
it might be helpful too, just thinking of, for the listeners, like, is this for me? Do I meet the criteria to be, you know, using this product, who the target athlete might be, if there is such a thing?
Yeah, I think, first of all, so the product line is not very big. I mean, the family is not very wide, and we have been heavily focused on carbohydrates. And We have a few different products, of course. You mentioned the drink mixes. How many do we have now? We have two different concentrations. At least we have two different concentrations, at least. We have the drink mix 160, and the digit on the front of the package refers to the number of calories in the product.
Yep.
And both drink mix 160 and 320 is supposed to be mixed with 500 milliliter. So the 160 mix in 500 mils will create an isotonic or slightly hypotonic drink. And that's in big contrast to the 320 mix, which contains 320 calories. All of them are coming from carbohydrates, so it's 80 grams of carbs close to. And that will create or form a hypertonic drink. And according to theory, that should induce stomach issues. But it seems like based on the anecdotal evidence and also the scientific evidence, suggest that it's very tolerable. So that about those. We do have a caffeinated version of the 320 mix, and we add in that one 100 milligrams of caffeine. So that's a quite potent dose. I have been arguing for a quite high dose of caffeine to not, let's say, just just have a small cute dose of caffeine that is ineffective for me. So that's the drink mixes.
Tobias, can I ask something really quick? This is kudos to you or whoever came up with this idea, putting 160 or 320 on the front of the label. Just thank you for that, because it just helps us as consumers. It just helps clear up some confusion. You know how like so many athletes are flipping the label and they're like, okay, I'm trying to figure out, okay, how many servings, how many grams of carbohydrate, how many calories? So thank you, number one, for making it easy for consumers. So two, if you do the math, and if we're looking at calories and now looking at grams of carbohydrate, so the 160 drink mix has 40 grams of carbohydrate. The 320 has 80 grams. So what we know in from research is, if we need up to 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour, we can get by with usually just like a one sugar delivery system, right? Glucose, maltodextrin. If we need more than 60, now we need to start talking about multiple transportable carbohydrates, and that's where the glucose and fructose come into play. So kind of, if you will, and I love that you guys actually have both 40 and 80 grams of carbohydrate, because it kind of gives the option for those athletes who, one, may need more carbohydrates per hour, and two, who may have GI distress. So can you speak to maybe who would be more apt to using like the 160 or 40 grams of carbs per hour versus the 320 or the 80 grams of carbs per hour in the drink mix?
I think the drink mix 160 can be used in isolation, of course, as a 40 gram per hour drink.
Right.
But I'm also thinking of in context where you need more fluid intake or higher water intake.
Yes.
Then suddenly you can take two of the 160 mix and have 1 liter of fluid or water. So that's one scenario. And what's something else I was thinking of? Yeah, maybe when you said, Bob, about the transparency of the calories or the carbohydrates on the front and so on. And I agree that we have done a good job in portion package the products. Mm-hmm. Because if we want to be precise with especially elite athletes, also from an anti-doping perspective, to having sealed sachets with a known quantity of carbohydrates kind of promotes precision, but also security, of course.
For sure.
So that's another thing that I think is that I'm pretty proud of when I'm working with elite athletes, of course, in this sensible industry.
And you know, I'm pretty sure I'm correct in this, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure you guys started that whole revolution, because all these new product companies are now putting that exact thing on the front of their label, be it in grams of carbohydrate or calories. So I think you guys started that whole revolution.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it comes to the carbohydrate composition in the drinks, do you want me to go deep into that as well?
Let's go deep. Let's jump in. Yeah.
And I mean, the carbohydrate sources in the drink mixes are maltodextrin and fructose. We are using the more traditional 2-to-1 formula or composition ratio in the drink mix 160, or 0.5-to-1, depending on what side you decide to use maltodextrin.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 320 mix, exactly as you explained before, Bob, the 320 mix is designed for very high intakes. So that's where we have a slightly higher fructose content. So that's closer to 0.70 or 0.72-to-1 ratio between fructose and maltodextrin.
Okay.
And then we have this tiny amount of the gelling ingredients, pectin and alginate, and some salt. So,
okay, perfect.
That's the drink mixes.
Yeah. So let's transition to the gels now. So what are, because you were mentioning earlier, the gels are a little bit different because you have to have that hydrogel I don't know if this is the right term, but mixed, formed before it interacts with the hydrochloric acid in the stomach, right? So what's different about the gels? Talk us through the 100 and the 160 gels.
So with the gels, we create or form this hydrogel outside the body by creating a crosslink between calcium and alginates. So these two together can create a pretty strong network. And if you read on the ingredients list, they are always in the size order, right? So water is the first ingredient. So that's around, I think, 36 or 37% of the product is water. And then we have glucose and fructose in a 0.8-to-1 ratio. So here we are using glucose instead of maltodextrin. And as you know, we don't have preservatives, and there are a few benefits of actually using the monomers or glucose and fructose from a preservative standpoint.
Is that versus like glucose versus maltodextrin?
Say it again.
Is that glucose versus maltodextrin? Like why use glucose in the gel and then maltodextrin in the drink mix?
And now I forgot the English word of this, but you're increasing the concentration of the particles or molecules.
And that's molality.
Yes. And it's called something else that I forgot now.
Okay.
Anyhow, it promotes to preserve the products in a better way.
Gotcha. Without adding preservatives.
Without adding preservatives.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Correct. And then we have... Now I don't have the package in front of me, but then we have calcium carbonate and sodium alginate and gluconic acid, I think. Mm-hmm. And all of these are used in the production process to create this hydrogel. So that's a very, very technical and sophisticated product.
Yes.
And compared to many other products, I mean, and also because we don't have preservatives, the shelf life or so is rather short, and this is actually a living product, you can say, because the structure will change with time,
right?
And so on. So it will not be harmful with time, but the structure of the hydrogel will degrade with time.
We definitely appreciate that from a non-preservative standpoint. So thank you for that. But no, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that, these do have a shorter shelf life. Like you're not going to have a gel that sits in your cupboard for 3 years and then 3 years later, you're like, oh, hey, maybe I should take that now. Like, no. But that's not the purpose of these things. Like when you purchase them, like you want to use them, obviously.
And one, I don't know if we have if that's kind of highlighted enough, but all of our products are pH neutral, so that's also one kind of unique thing with our products compared to many of our competitors. Let's say we have actually removed one of two really poor factors for the dental health. So.
I was going to ask you why that's important, but you just answered that question. So now we're talking about oral health, dental health, right?
Exactly. So pH, so the products can be considered as pH neutral, or they are at least above the dental, what do you call it? The dental erosive threshold.
Erosion,
yeah. Of 5.5. So, and that's something that I'm proud of as well. And I do think that in the future, the International Olympic Committee, they will only kind of promote products that are protecting the athlete's health.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, with the advent of mouth rinsing that came on board years ago, right, with sport drinks, I mean, my joke to all athletes is, yeah, you can do it, but you should probably talk to your dentist first, because there are some oral health concerns with like mouth, you know, rinsing or swishing or whatever. I mean, I think that's a big deal. And I don't think a lot of athletes have really put that high in their priority list because they don't think about that until they get a little bit older and they're like, oh, hey, you know, the dentist is not giving me a good checkup anymore.
No. Exactly. So, and the gels, again, the number on the front, the 100, the 160 refers to the number of calories. So it's a 25 gram versus 40 gram carbohydrate gel. We do have a caffeinated version again with 100 milligrams of caffeine. So again, a pretty potent dose in one single shot.
Yeah. We did notice, Tobias, that there's a difference in sodium content from the drink mix to the gels. And actually, one of our listeners asked us to ask you this specifically. So why is there a difference in sodium in those two products?
I have been bombarded.
I'm sure you have.
About sodium content from the US. I'm fine with that. I mean, why there is a difference or between the drinks and the gels or...
Correct. Yeah. So there's, yeah. I forgot exactly, but there's only like, what, 20 milligrams of sodium in the gels. I think there's around 120-ish, somewhere around there. I know it's not exact, but there's a lot more in the drink mix than there are in the gels.
Yeah. I mean, sodium in the gel comes from the sodium alginate. So it will be there because of the specific ingredient.
Right.
The amount is so small, so it's neglectable. I mean, it doesn't contribute anything to sodium intake, I would say. In the drinks, yes, we have a slightly higher sodium content or salt content, but still it's very small amounts. So compared to many others on the market or in the industry, we are using very low amounts of salt or sodium in our products. Yeah. Okay. So that was the gels. The 160 gels. Gel was the latest kind of addition to our product line. There was a big demand, especially from the cyclists who was asking for a larger gel or a bigger carbohydrate dose in a single serving.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just thinking, Tobias, at the beginning when Morten was introducing the gels and like what the vibe was from athletes trying, because the consistency and texture is so different from so many other gels out there. I mean, obviously due to the technology, but for anyone that hasn't tried the Morten gels, I mean, even just going to the website and the picture of Kilian Jornet with, you can kind of see this texture just visually. But what was the, like, was it hard to get the athletes to kind of like get used to that texture, or no big deal really?
Both, I would say. Okay. First of all, I think our gel is by definition the only gel on the market.
100% accurate.
Yeah.
Other gels are actually a high concentrated sugar solution. So
They're like syrups. They're syrup.
They are serious.
Yeah.
But I think you're 100% right. I mean, still we have athletes who think there is something wrong with the gels. But at the same time, and Kilian is a good example, and he came to us and said that I have used your gels and they work so well for me. So I can tolerate them and I have no issues and so on. So that is, of course, more convincing evidence, I would say, that's more convincing than a gel with the flavor and so on. And the other thing with our gels, of course, is that they are flavor neutral, or they have no flavors. And I think that's also a big benefit. And also, I don't think it's controversial to kind of, or the concept of crosstalk between what we sense in the mouth, what our brain pick up, and also the sensory in the stomach and the gastric emptying rate and so on. So I do think there is something with mild flavors and non-flavor or neutral.
I'd agree.
Another thing I appreciate
during a stress situation as hard exercise, for example.
For sure. Great. Well, could you talk about the solids? I know that's somewhat new, or a year or two maybe on the market, but could you talk about the composition of those bars, I'll call them for now?
This is actually an interesting story and not a big innovation according to me. So, I mean, the scientific research around the solids is non-existent. But when we kind of started this project, it actually started with demand from the cycling teams. So they wanted a solid or a bar, let's say. And we said instead of buying bars to supply you, we can easily make our own and formulate it in the best way, let's say. Mm-hmm. So I went, or we went into the scientific research, and we researched tracer studies involving or including bars or solids. Actually, the name in this study, where they had a tracer study on the bar, was called a solid product.
So, okay.
So the name partly is coming from a scientific study where they studied the uptake, let's say, or the oxidation of the carbohydrates from a bar. Hmm. So in a way, we try to replicate the composition of that bar to ensure we find a composition that is, again, as tolerable as possible, that is created with as low fiber, fat and protein content as possible, with carbohydrate ingredients from in this case oat.
Mm-hmm. And really the concept, because there's the hydrogel technology is not in the solids, so I think the onus of doing this is to provide those carbohydrate rich calories to those athletes, like you mentioned, the cyclist at first, who needed more carbohydrates and maybe in a different texture format.
Yes. Exactly. And with some nutrients as well. I mean, to be honest, right, the drink mixes and gels are, of course, only providing carbohydrates, fuel.
Right, right.
Whereas in the bar or the solid, you're having some nutrients as well.
Yes. Have you had a good response to the solids from athletes?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that the solid have a place in the, let's say, the athlete's diets, especially the, as we have mentioned here, the guys who are pushing high volumes, spending a lot of hours on the legs or on the bike. So as a kind of a flavor escape or getting too bored with the drink or gels, I do think that the solids can, yeah.
Absolutely.
I was just thinking of one more question back to the drink mix, Tobias. The amount of fluid that you mix, if it's not exactly, let's say, 500 mils, this is a question I've had before, then how much are we compromising the hydrogel formulation? So if it was like 550 mils or, you know, a little bit on one way or the other, what happens?
I mean, yes, that's a very good question. The functionality of the hydrogel concept relies on the kind of the concentration. And if we are having one sachet from 320 or 160, and we dilute it in 750 milliliters mm-hmm. or 1 liter, we will dilute the gelling components and create a weaker hydrogel mm-hmm. because the concentration of the gelling components is lower. At the same time, you're also diluting the carbohydrates, and by that, the product will be more tolerable, mm-hmm. right? The opposite is also possible. For example, we have two really good Norwegian triathletes who have been using the product for many, many years, and especially Christian Blumenfeld. He's used to mixed a double 320 in 750 mm-hmm. milliliters, for example. So is creating a higher concentration of the gelling components, and thereby he will create a stronger or more robust hydrogel in the stomach. I know that the product is tolerable, so I'm thinking of the gel itself, or a stronger gel is beneficial from a GI point of view.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's probably why Christian is doing that, I would imagine. Yeah.
Also, but yeah, also he's consuming. He needs a lot.
He does. He does. Yeah. He runs hot for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Tobias, we're going to take a 180 here, and we're going to talk about the last product that you have, which is kind of exciting. And I do have a story to intro this, but we're going to be talking about bicarbonate. And here's my story. Way long time ago, and I'm going to date myself, but I was actually at the U.S. Olympic Committee as a sport dietitian. I remember working with one of the exercise physiologists. We were working with some triathletes, and we're trying to figure out how to incorporate sodium bicarbonate into their training, their higher intensity interval training, without causing those very, very disruptive GI system challenges, right? So if you can imagine this, like, we would be sitting there, we are literally encapsulating powdered sodium bicarb. And that lasted maybe 2 days. And then all of our athletes were like, no, we're not tolerating this. So we threw our hands up in the air, and you know, the story goes on. We're trying to find different products to try to use bicarbonate, because we know bicarbonate has amazing benefits, which I'm going to let you talk about. But you guys have really pioneered using bicarbonate again. I feel like bicarbonate was like uber popular about 20 years ago, and then all the digestive system challenges started to happen, and then it just sank. And you guys are kind of bringing bicarbonate back to life. So talk to us about the Morton bicarb and bicarb system.
So this is Morton DNA. Again, we were looking for a problem.
Yes.
A big problem. GI distress when consuming bicarbonate. This is, I would say, a Formula One product. So this is not, in my opinion, I mean, there are bigger challenges or priorities, I would say, for recreational athletes. But for high performance athletes, sodium bicarbonate is very interesting, of course. And it's so associated with GI distress, especially, as you mentioned, Bob. And we have had our eyes on this product for many, many years. And I have notes from new products meeting or R&D meeting from 2018 and 19, or wow, 2018 when we discussed this. And we came up with a concept. And again, we wanted to create a delivery system for bicarbonate. And of course, as we do internally, we are reading the literature, thinking, using kind of methods, ideas from the pharmaceutical industry, how to deliver drugs or medicines in the body and so on, and came up with this. So during the corona pandemic, me and the head of research, my close colleague Martin, invested in a blood gas instrument so we could measure blood pH and blood bicarbonate, measuring the acid-base balance and the impact of the ingested bicarbonate. We did so and tried to optimize the product, and we have been, or the formula or the product we have created is consisting of a mini tablet with sodium bicarbonate and binders to have a, let's say, a specific integrity so we can control the release of the bicarbonate in combination with a hydrogel, and that's the vehicle or the delivery mechanism. And the idea is to make it, or to facilitate the intake, be easier to swallow, but also promote the gastric emptying rate and the transport of the bicarbonate from the stomach to the intestine without having the chemical interaction in the stomach between the gastric acid and the base from the bicarbonates. So
love it.
The hydrogel acts as a coating to protect the mini tablets, so they can be released in the intestine. And only 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, of course, we have already known this for a few years now. We have tested so many elite athletes and world-class athletes who have experienced capsules or bicarbonate solution. So again, we were pretty confident that the GI tolerability from our products was higher compared to other formulas. And 2 weeks ago, it was published a scientific papers where they compared the Morton formula compared to capsules. So from a matched dose, both the kind of the bicarbonate elevation in the blood, the concentration was higher, and at the same time, the GI distress was much lower, more or less non-existent. So extremely promising.
That's amazing. And I know you guys have like different strengths, you know, depending on, because it has to be based on the size of the athlete, the body weight of the athlete. What type of athletes, actually, I don't know if we actually gave our listeners the purpose of sodium bicarb. So can you just really briefly, like, and then like give us the purpose of sodium bicarb and maybe what type of athletes or maybe different training modalities or cycles might it be best for?
I think we can help each other here, Bob, but I, yes. I used to use the picture of the anaerobic threshold.
Yes.
So when an athlete is exercising at high exercise intensities, of course, the human body is using carbohydrate as a fuel. And above anaerobic threshold, some of the carbohydrates will not be fully oxidized within the muscle cells. So some of the carbohydrates will be reduced to lactic acid. Mm-hmm. And that molecule is not stable in physiological pH. It's quickly reduced to lactate ions and hydrogen ions.
Yes.
And if the listeners remember from their natural science classes, pH or pH is the concentration of hydrogen ions. So if we exercise at very high exercise intensities, we will have an accumulation of both lactate and also hydrogen ions. So pH will drop. And there's some debate and some controversies whether the low pH contributes to fatigue or not at high exercise intensities. It's definitely involved somehow. And the human body is equipped with different buffering mechanisms to maintain pH as long as possible. So we do have molecules inside the cell that helps us. And then we have this bicarbonate system that has its mechanism in the blood. So that's what we support when we are ingesting sodium bicarbonate.
Yeah. So it's really helping that anaerobic threshold and above effort. So we can call it for listeners zone 4, zone 5 effort, depending on what kind of a zone model you're working with or anything, basically just high intensity exercise. And it's great. I mean, you know, in real life, I'll use sodium bicarb with athletes who are going through a training phase where we do have higher intensity, right? So you have to match it. It's not something you have every single day, obviously, of the year, but you have to match it to your training cycle to kind of support that physiological adaptation that you want. So I love that you guys have this product out because it's finally answering the question, can I take sodium bicarb without having GI distress, right? And it almost seems like Morten, from what you're saying, Morten was really, I mean, one of the main incidents or one of the main driving forces of Morten was to solve problems, as you were saying, but really to help the problem of GI distress, right? From either a carbohydrate delivery system or sodium bicarb. I'm kind of interested and curious to see what's on the horizon with this. you know, because I love it when companies are actually looking at this and using science and to try to solve problems and not just to, you know, throw another product on the market and say, oh, hey, you know, here you go, try this, right? We just want to make some money or whatever. But you guys are actually trying to solve problems, which I totally respect.
Yeah, so the next product, this is the hard part because we have this discussion internally, me and the head of research and the CEO and so on. And
yeah,
an innovation, you cannot plan for an innovation.
Right.
You cannot have a deadline for it. You cannot work like that. And in our case, we really need to think outside the box. So we cannot always rely what's in the scientific literature. Mm-hmm. So we need to be questioning everything we are reading. And at the same time, I do think that we have already so good products. So we need to get kind of deep into the box.
Yes.
And work with education on how to use carbohydrates in the best way, in the best situation and scenarios and so on, and be more individualized. And we have a few projects ongoing for that as well. There are more. Yeah, I know. I cannot say
you don't that. You don't have to say more. We you're just baiting us. You're throwing the carrot in front of us. We appreciate that.
So, I mean, and of course, that's also very non-controversial. We are working with carbohydrates. That's very high on our priority list, what we believe that athletes need for quality work or quality exercise. But yes, the sodium bicarbonate is indeed very, very interesting. And maybe we can also discuss a little bit. Now, when we have a product that is more, seems to be more tolerable, that opens up many avenues to explore, right? And now we are anecdotally, and this is also something we can dig into a little bit. I mean, the scientific evidence is very strong from using bicarbonate in the context we discussed, and normally 1 to 8 minute all out is normally where we can find a effect from bicarbonate. But at the same time, now when we have a tolerable product, we know that athletes are exploring and use it in different scenarios and different contexts and reports very interesting findings. And you have to dig a little bit into the scientific research, but you can find the bicarbonate also below the anaerobic threshold reduces the perceived exertion.
Exertion, yep.
So you perceive the efforts as lighter, or the exercise as a little bit easier. And that's also an interesting concept, I think. And today we know that athletes are exploring with the bicarbonate, for example, in marathon and even Ironmans and so on. So they can cover a greater distance with lower perceived efforts. And also, I think in training, at threshold training, for example, if you can execute the session in a better way, that's also an interesting kind of application from an injury prevention perspective.
Right? Yeah. It's a good point. I think what you said is, you know, athletes usually will kind of be our path to trying new things or exploring even new concepts, or actually, you know, having almost pilot research being done, because those are the ones who are doing it, right? And we're like, oh, that's interesting. So you're taking sodium bicarb before an Ironman. Huh, that's really fascinating, because we would never think about that.
Yeah.
But like you said, because the delivery mechanism is better for the GI system, for lowering GI distress and reducing perceived exertion, I feel like we're going to be seeing a lot more bicarbonate use with many different types of athletes. Because like you said, I think we as athletes like to experiment. I mean, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I love to guinea pig myself and just try these different things. And, you know, and it's not questioning research. It's actually supporting future research that hopefully will be done.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's a whole world outside of sports, of course, where sodium bicarbonate is used. In the clinical setting, where it's actually used to treat patients. So
right, yeah.
Regulate the acid-base balance. So it's it's a fundament for the body, of course, to regulate the acid
base. Exactly. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I've got some ultra running goals this year left in my season, even though it's just February as we're recording this. And I will be putting some bicarb to the test, because I am fascinated. Like, okay, if it's between the 1 to 8 minutes, great. But what if? It's always asking the question, like, what if? What if it could be more applicable to maybe some ultra runners or Ironman athletes, like you're saying? I mean, I would love to answer that question, even just if it's N of one. So I'm super excited that you guys have this product on the market, and you've got different dosages to support the different body weights of athletes. And I don't know, I'm giving you a virtual pat on the back right now, Tobias.
Yeah. I was thinking, but still, I do think that we should not get this wrong. Bicarbonate is lower on the priority list.
Right.
Carbohydrates and other things we can do to kind of have the best performance. You need to
Absolutely. Well said.
Yes. This has been a great overview of the Morton Company, the innovation, the science. I mean, trying to address problems and provide solutions for athletes, Tobias. So thank you for walking us through everything. Is there anything we haven't mentioned that you think is important to include before we get to the last segment of our conversation with you?
No, I don't think so.
It's been a lot, hasn't it?
It's been a lot. Yeah.
You know, one thing that I'll just add this for you, Tobias, because it's a question that's very important to me, especially when I work with collegiate athletes and professional Olympic athletes. But all of your products are Informed Sport certified. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that is a third-party organization, which I wholeheartedly try to encourage all athletes to make sure that most of their products are either Informed Sport certified or NSF certified for sport. So listeners, if you don't know what that is, Dean and I can educate you on a future episode. But I will just say thank you for having all of your products be Informed Sport certified, yeah, because it just speaks to the quality control that you guys have at Morton and that you're willing to actually take it to that level.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in the US, you have a strong certificate called the NSF, right?
Correct. Correct.
And I believe that Informed Sports is, yeah, that's the most popular, I guess, or the most established here in Europe. And
I have a more
global spread.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. NSF is usually confined to the US and Informed Sport is more worldwide for sure. That's why, I mean, when I work with all my athletes, it's like, okay, if it has one or the other, we're doing pretty good right now in terms of safety and supplement safety and you know, making sure there are no banned substances.
Yeah. But as you mentioned, all products are tested for sure. And we have had that as our number one priority to provide or supply safe products for athletes.
Yes. Love that. Oh my gosh. This is awesome. Okay. We're going to finish up with our virtual high five question. So we're going to kind of give you these high fives, but we're going to give them to you via five questions. So listeners can learn a little bit more about who this Tobias guy really is, if you don't mind. Okay. So don't put too much thought into the answers. Okay. All right. Our listeners want to know, Tobias, question number one, what is your morning routine like? What do you do in the morning?
Morning routine is, the last 6 months, I have weighed my body weight every day.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is it for a specific reason or?
Yeah, of course, to track my body weight, because I started, I'm a participant in a scientific study at the moment.
Okay.
I have to monitor this.
Okay.
Gotcha. Have you seen much variation?
No.
Okay.
And I think that's a good confirmation to my daily diet, I think.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. Well, question number two, what is one of your favorite hobbies outside of work or anything you do for your job? What is a hobby that you have?
Soccer is my sport. So I am the head coach for my son's soccer team.
Oh, I love that. Nice. Yes.
And actually, last weekend, we were in Germany and watched Bayern Munich against Red Bull Leipzig. He got that as a birthday present.
Oh, my gosh. What a great birthday present. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of that, here's question number three. Speaking of traveling, of all the travels you've done and all the places you've been, if you could pinpoint like your favorite location or place that you visit, what is it?
I think I have visited 5 altitude camps or location that are really, really cool. I was in Boulder this year. That was also cool.
Oh.
But Flagstaff, E10 in Kenya, Sierra Nevada in Spain, St. Moritz in Switzerland, France, all these beautiful places.
Oh my gosh. Do you have a favorite though, or that's like your top five?
My top five, yeah.
Okay.
All amazing. Okay, question number four. What is one of your favorite books that you've read? Or if you're a listener of books, do you have a favorite?
Is it called Performance Nutrition by Bob Siebohr?
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
But go on. Keep saying, no. Keep saying it.
I'm going to have to ask for another one, too.
Come on, Dina. I did not set him up for this one.
At the minute, I'm reading...
I think it was Nutrition Periodization.
Win at All Costs at the minute. I'm reading that now.
Okay.
Win at All Costs. Okay.
It's about Nike running and their philosophy and culture.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to pick that one up. Okay. Thank you for that tip. All right. Last question.
I kind of go into doping controversies and that. So.
Yeah. Okay, last question for you. This is a hard one because we're going to limit it. If you only had one simple piece of advice for all athletes, what would that one piece of advice be?
For athletes.
For athletes.
Uh, trying to maintain consistency in training, consistency in diet, and consistency.
That is very well said. And you didn't even have to think about that one. Yeah. So kudos to you for that one. Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah. I love it.
It means try to prevent injuries, try to prevent infections
and illnesses.
And not overdo it.
Yes, absolutely. Amazing. Well, Tobias, we will put all of Morten's information in our show notes. We'll put all those links so our listeners can find more information about you guys. I mean, if they haven't heard about Morten already, I'm sure they have. But this has been probably one of the best, most stimulating conversations we had. We just want to, again, thank you for your time. We understand your time is very valuable. So thank you for spending a good amount of time with us. We'd love to have you back on the podcast in the near future, maybe when some new products are coming out or when you learn some more stuff, just kind of give us some updates. But other than that, just again, from the bottom of our heart, just thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, Dina, we're going to wrap it up for this episode. Listeners, thanks for catching us again. Stay tuned for our next episode.
Hope you enjoyed this conversation with Tobias Christensen of the Morten Company, learned more about the hydrogel technology and the Morten array of sports nutrition products. Stay tuned for next week's episode. Bob and I are going to do a review of a handful of energy gels out there on the market that have a 1:2.8 ratio of glucose to fructose. And you may not know why that's important or what it means, but catch us for that episode coming up next week, and we will get you informed and educated and maybe help you with your selection if you are an energy gel user. And hey, if you've got a sports nutrition question that you'd like us to address on a future Ask Us Anything episode, drop us an email over to hello@insidesportsnutrition.com. We love your questions and really appreciate you tuning in, and even just coming up with your questions is really cool to hear what's going on with all of you. We'd love your support in promoting this podcast. If you are an avid listener or just enjoy the content we're providing, if you could leave us a 5-star rating, that actually does help us just expand our listenership, help us to continue to grow and share our content with other listeners like you around the world. If you'd like to learn more about the services that Bob and I offer in our respective businesses, you can reach out to Bob or check him out over on the web at energyperformance.com. That's spelled energyperformance.com. Or myself, Dina, over at nutritionmechanic.com. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the hosts and the guests involved and do not represent a replacement for medical consultation with your doctor. The information and opinions provided here are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition. This podcast is for information, education, and entertainment purposes only.